Dear Talking About Platforms listeners, this episode is part of our special AI-generated series, exploring the key ideas and influential works that have shaped platform studies. Let's get started.
So a platform is basically an intermediary that facilitates interactions between different groups of users. A classic example is something like a video game console.
Okay.
So you have the PlayStation, the Xbox, and it connects game developers and players.
Right.
And allows them to interact. So it's not just the technology itself. It's really about this ecosystem and how it enables interactions.
That makes sense. And one thing that I think is interesting about platform markets is that they often have these really strong network effects.
Right, exactly.
So the more users you get on one side, the more valuable the platform becomes for the other side.
Yeah.
Which means it becomes more and more difficult for new entrants to come in.
Absolutely.
Because you kind of get these winner-take-all dynamics, right?
Right. So if you have, you know, one platform that has the lion's share of the market, it's very hard to compete with them.
So that brings us to the idea of envelopment, right? So if you're a company and you want to break into a market, that seems dominated by another platform.
Yeah.
This paper lays out this idea of envelopment. So what is it?
So envelopment is this strategic approach where a company that already has an existing platform will try to expand into a new market by bundling their product with the product in that target market.
Okay.
So instead of, you know, starting from scratch and trying to build their own user base, they're leveraging an existing user base and potentially shared components to kind of get a leg up in that new market.
So they're sort of piggybacking on their success in one area.
Exactly.
To try to break into a different area. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the paper uses a really compelling example, which is Microsoft versus Real Networks.
Right.
Can you maybe just walk us through that case?
Yeah. So back in the late 90s, Real Networks was really the dominant player in streaming media. They had Real Player.
I remember Real Player. Yeah.
Which was, I mean, if you wanted to watch videos online, it was pretty much the only option.
Yeah.
So Microsoft had Windows Media Player, and they basically bundled that with the Windows operating system, which obviously was on pretty much every computer at that point.
Everyone had it,
So suddenly, overnight, they had this massive potential user base.
It's brilliant. And it was just there. You didn't have to go download it. You didn't have to install it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just there. Yeah. And, you know, Windows Media Player wasn't necessarily a better product than Real Player, but because they had that distribution advantage, they were able to very rapidly eat into Real Network's market share.
Yeah.
And really demonstrate the power of envelopment.
So it's not just about having a great product. It's also about where you position it.
Absolutely.
And what assets you can leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this idea of envelopment, the paper actually breaks it down into three different types of envelopment attack.
Right. And I think this is useful because it gives us a framework for thinking about the different ways that envelopment can play out.
Yeah.
So can you maybe walk us through those three types of envelopment attacks?
Yeah. So the first one is envelopment of complements.
Okay.
So this is where a company bundles its product with something that's a complement to its existing offering.
So things that kind of naturally go together.
Exactly. Okay. So a good example is eBay acquiring PayPal.
Right.
Right. So you have the online auction platform and then you have the online payment system.
Right.
And they're natural complements.
Makes sense.
And so by bundling them together, eBay made it much easier and more convenient for buyers and sellers to transact.
Okay. What's the next one?
So the second type is envelopment of weak substitutes.
Okay.
So this is where a company will bundle their product with something that kind of serves a similar purpose, but maybe uses a different technology or approach.
So not quite direct competitors,
right?
But they're kind of offering a different solution.
Yeah, exactly.
To a similar problem.
So a good example here is Blockbuster trying to compete with Netflix by offering DVD rentals by mail.
Okay.
So Netflix was, you know, becoming really popular with its online platform.
Yeah.
And Blockbuster tried to leverage their existing brand and their existing customer base to offer a similar service.
Right.
But they were doing it through a more traditional mail-based approach.
Interesting. So it's almost like they're trying to catch up rather than necessarily leapfrog the competitor.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what's the third type?
So the third type is envelopment of unrelated platforms.
Okay.
So this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
This is where a company bundles its product with something that seems completely unrelated
right.
to its core offering.
Okay.
And so the classic example here is the iPhone.
Right.
You know, you have a mobile phone.
Yeah.
You have a media player.
Mm-hmm.
You have an internet browser.
These were all separate things offered by different companies.
Yeah.
But Apple bundled them all together
right.
into one device.
Right. That was a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's interesting. So it's really about finding these synergies
yeah.
between products that you might not think
right.
go together.
Exactly.
And creating this sort of bundled experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this typology, I think, is really useful for kind of mapping out the different ways that envelopment can work.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, what makes these attacks successful?
Right.
Why do some companies succeed
yeah.
with this strategy while others fail? What are the key ingredients?
Right.
So we've kind of set the stage.
Yeah.
We've looked at the different types of envelopment attacks.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen how Microsoft used this to go after real networks.
Right.
But launching an envelopment attack, it's not a guaranteed win.
Right. Right? Not at all.
There are certain things that companies have to do to make it successful.
Exactly. It requires very careful planning.
Yeah.
And execution. And so this paper does a really good job of kind of outlining these key ingredients for success.
Okay.
And we can think of these as kind of three core levers that companies can pull.
So let's talk about those levers. What's the first one?
So the first one is tying.
Tying. Okay.
And this is basically creating a situation where in order to get access to the product they want, customers essentially have to buy the bundle.
Okay.
So it kind of limits the target platform's reach.
Mm-hmm.
By making it harder
right.
to access their product independently.
So you're kind of making it so that
yeah.
it's much easier to just go with your bundled offering mm-hmm. than to try to get the target platform's product on its own.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is especially effective
yeah.
when there's a lot of overlap between the user bases
okay.
of the two platforms.
So going back to our Microsoft Real Networks example,
yeah.
a lot of people were probably fine with using Real Player.
Right.
But since Windows Media Player came bundled with Windows, they just used that because it was there.
Exactly. Yeah. It just became the default.
Yeah.
So it's about convenience.
Right. You don't have to go download it. You don't have to install it.
Exactly.
It's just there.
It's right there.
Okay. So that's tying. What's the second lever?
So the second lever is price discrimination.
Okay.
And so this is basically using bundling as a way to sort of fine tune your pricing strategy
okay.
to appeal to different segments of the market.
How does that work? How does bundling help with that?
So the idea is that
yeah.
if you have two products, let's say product A and product B, some customers might really value A, but not B, and vice versa.
Right.
By bundling them together, you can set a price that's appealing to both groups.
Okay.
So you're essentially capturing more value
yeah.
than if you were selling them separately.
So it's kind of like you're finding that sweet spot.
Exactly.
That appeals to
yeah.
a broader set of people.
Yeah. And this is particularly powerful when we
yeah.
think about the envelopment of unrelated platforms.
Okay.
Because in those cases, the user valuations are less likely to be correlated.
Right.
So there's more room for price discrimination to work.
It's kind of like a package deal where everyone finds something they like.
Exactly.
And that's appealing. Okay. So we've got tying. We've got price discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
What's our third lever?
So the third lever is economies of scope.
Okay.
And this is the idea that bundling can often lead to cost savings.
Okay.
In production,
yeah.
marketing,
yeah.
distribution.
So you're streamlining things. You're kind of getting rid of some of the overhead.
Yeah. So by bundling products together, companies can leverage those shared resources.
Right.
And that reduces the overall cost of bringing those products to market.
So it's not just about the marketing or the strategic positioning.
Right.
It's also about the operational efficiency.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got these three levers.
Yeah.
Tying, price discrimination, economies of scope.
Mm.
And it really shows that this is a multifaceted strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just, you know, putting two products together
yeah.
and hoping for the best.
Yeah, you really have to think about it carefully.
Okay, so the paper doesn't just leave us with these sort of abstract concepts. And in fact, there's this table one,
mm.
that is just packed with examples of both successful and unsuccessful envelopment attacks.
Yeah.
And you see everything in there from, you know, Google going after all these different markets,
mm-hmm.
like payments,
mm-hmm.
productivity software,
yep.
To Apple with the iPhone and the iPad.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see how this strategy is playing out in the real world.
All over the place.
And what I really appreciate about this table is that the authors actually go through each example and tell you whether the attack was successful.
Right.
So whether the attacker was able to displace the target or whether the target was able to hold on to its market position.
Exactly. So it's not just a list of anecdotes. They're actually analyzing them and providing evidence.
Yeah, it's really valuable. Yeah. So, okay, we've looked at these different types of envelopment attacks.
Right.
We've looked at what makes them successful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to also consider the other side of this coin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. What about the companies that are being targeted?
The incumbents, yeah.
What can they do to defend themselves against this, you know?
Right.
So what does this paper say about that?
So the paper actually doesn't go into defensive strategies as deeply as it goes into the offensive strategies.
Okay.
But it does give us a couple of things to think about.
Okay.
One of the things it talks about is opening up the platform.
Oh, interesting. So instead of being a closed platform, you make it more open. You invite other companies to
participate. Yeah. So you're essentially inviting others to come in, build compatible products and services.
Okay.
And kind of co-create value within your ecosystem.
So you're building an alliance.
In a way. Yeah.
Right. You're stronger together.
Yeah. And the idea is that by doing this, you can potentially expand your user base. You can attract new developers. Right. You can stimulate more innovation.
But there are also risks.
Right.
Okay. You're opening yourself up to more competition.
Right, yeah.
You could dilute your brand.
Yeah.
It might be harder to control
exactly
where the platform goes.
So it's a trade-off.
It's a tough decision. Yeah. Okay. So opening up the platform, that's one strategy.
Yeah.
What else?
Another thing the paper talks about is essentially fighting fire with fire.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have the resources and the capabilities, you can launch your own envelopment attack against the attacker. You can go after their core market.
So it becomes a bundle battle.
Yeah. And as you can imagine, this can be a very fierce type of competition.
Yeah.
It can often lead to a race to the bottom in terms of pricing.
Yeah. You don't want to get caught in that.
No.
So I guess the takeaway is that there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Exactly.
It really depends on the specifics of the situation.
Right.
Who the players are, what resource they have.
Okay.
And there's this other question that the paper touches on but doesn't fully explore, which is what kind of organizational structure do you need to have to launch these kinds of attacks or to defend against them?
Yeah, because envelopment, whether you're on the offensive or the defensive side, requires a lot of coordination across different parts of the company.
Right.
You have the engineers who are integrating the platforms. You have the marketing teams who are trying to craft the message.
Right.
You have to think about pricing.
It's a lot.
It's complex.
Okay.
So there's a lot of interesting questions about organizational design, leadership.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this paper is really thought-provoking.
Absolutely.
It lays out this framework for thinking about platform competition, but then it also raises all these really interesting questions.
Yeah.
About the things we still don't know.
Right. And that's the mark of a really good paper, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's not just giving you answers, it's giving you more questions to think about.
So for all of our listeners out there, I highly recommend checking out the full paper.
Absolutely.
Platform Envelopment by Eisenman, Parker, and Van Alstyne.
It's a must read.
It really is.
Yeah.
And as always, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
What resonated with you? What new questions did this raise for you?
Right.
Come join the conversation on our website or social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd love to hear from you.
Keep the discussion going.
Thank you for listening to Talking About Platforms. In this special series on platform classics, we use AI to review and present published research, with intellectual property remaining with the original authors. Our goal is to make these insights accessible and encourage you to dive deeper into the original works. Stay tuned for more episodes and keep exploring the fascinating world of platforms.